two, one.
One on? Yeah, thank you. Good morning. Feel that was good from the back. Okay, so what do I need right now? Gosh, I feel like the teacher, right? Oh, you're not in third grade. Laptop's down is what I need. Otherwise, I come around and do this, and it's really embarrassing because it happened to someone. Phone is like a laptop, Vikram. It's just like, I know it is. And he actually gets a pass because he's an alumni, but still want him to see me. So yes, everyone else coming in from this point on is getting huge demerits, and we'll have to be here tomorrow extra early. That's it. Watched, and I'll have everybody sign in early. We are on the long haul here. Had a couple long days, but you haven't seen anything yet. Today is constituency day, and day that I used to talk about and say be a day that puts fear, you know, in the eyes and hearts of, you know, the non-faint-hearted. But you know what it is? It's the chance to embrace something special, right? You're here to learn. You're here to figure out how we tick. You're here to get a taste of the ICANN community and the work that we do. So that's today. Today we're going to embrace that. We're going to be back at the multi-stakeholder model in full swing. I mean, the entire day, if you look at the schedule, is filled. So you're going to see all the sectors, whether it's academic, technical, security, CCTLD, government, civil society, not-for-profit. You're going to see all the sectors at work today within the multi-stakeholder model. So everyone has come before you, some of them just before you, first-timers in Buenos Aires or whatever, but they've come and they found their home in the multi-stakeholder model. So we're going to have the chance to take a bit of a journey again with two of our chairs from the Generic Name Supporting Organization, the GNSO, and we are part of what Rafiq introduced yesterday, the non-commercial stake group. And so the first will be Rudy, who is the chair for the not-for-profit or operational concerns constituency. And it did take me a couple times to get that spit out correctly. So it's the not-for-profit operational concerns. We're not working? The Russian, we're saying not working?
Yeah, well, change the channel. You probably need to change the channel.
Okay. Do you want to, Yuri, do you want to work with the folks here and just make sure you keep your things on to test with them? That would be great. Thank you so much for stopping me. So I think probably we might get it going very quickly. Yes, yes, yes. I've got good faith. So Rudy, I'm going to hand over to you, hoping that it will start up as soon as I hand the magical mic.
Thank you, Janice. And good morning, everybody. Finally, you get awake, yes? How was the Guinness yesterday? You didn't drink Guinness? No? You have better beer in your country. Good. I'm Rudy Vansnik. I'm the chair of the NPOC, the Not-for-Profit Operational Concerns constituency. A long name and a long task we have to accomplish. NPOC has been created 4 years ago, so it's still a very small and young baby. When I joined NPOC, it could just cry, couldn't even brabble. Now it starts speaking. Our task is to represent and defend the rights of NGOs and civil society, and especially on the issues that are related to the domain name space. Who belongs to an NGO? Put your hand up. To one. NGOs have a lot of difficulties in getting into the internet, and especially in the domain name space, as most of the NGOs don't know how the domain name space functions, how it works. And recently we have been doing a survey on the European NGOs ECOSOC list, the list from the United Nations. We have been sending out 1,600 emails to 1,600 organizations. 60% of the mails bounced, came back for several reasons. First reason, As we know, NGOs are based on volunteers. Volunteers move from one organization to the other, or don't have the time to continue their job anymore in the NGO. It's how you lose the contact with the NGO. Another reason, and that's a more important one, and that's one of the reasons why NPOC is starting arguing a lot now in the DNS and in ICANN. Many lost their domain name because they didn't know that they had to renew it. Most thought, we get it, and we have it for always, which is not true. And then starts the problem. You invest 1 year in creating a web page or web pages. You build up your communication channel through email. And when you lose that after a year, you're losing a lot of your assets at the same time. So the domain name is a very valuable object. And what we heard then when we were trying to contact them by phone to see if to know the reasons, we discovered that as they didn't know how to renew it, we have been looking for the reasons why they didn't know. And there are also several reasons there. One is nobody told them. Two, there are quite a lot of registrars that are registering the domain name with the email address of the registrar and not of somebody, the organization. I think you meanwhile understand how a DNS works. I hope so. Yeah? You know how the registration rules are? Yeah? If you don't know, ask them. It's important. Because if you don't know, that's exactly the issue. That's where it starts the problem. So, if it's registered with the email address of the registrar, you will never be informed about the renewal. That's how they capture it. Don't forget that there is a lot of money that can be taken while you are taking over a domain name that has a lot of bandwidth use. That's of value for them, where they get their money from. So it's quite important that you know and you control if your domain name is really registered with a name of a person of the organization. Otherwise, you could end up in misery. And others told us, well, you know, don't bother. We go to Facebook, pages on Facebook. But that's a bad idea. You're feeding a big US corporation. They get the money. You don't get it. They get it. Due to all your content. So that's not a good solution. So the only way to take profit of the internet is having your own domain name. And that's where NPOC tries now to figure out how to change policy to do the work that is needed so that every organization can still maintain their domain or getting their domain name. What you have seen is that many of the .orgs are now in hands of corporations, commercial corporations. That was not the goal. That was not the objective. So you see, there is a lot of work going to do in the next months and years to address that issue and to get it changed. You probably all know about the existence of .ngo, .ong. Another question, who has a .org domain name? 1, 2, 3, 4, only? See? There is room, probably a reason why you don't have it. And it's not because it's expensive. That's not true. That's not a good reason. It's because most of the time, don't know. I was in Joburg 2 months ago at the third AFICTA summit, and it's the Association of the African ICT. And I discovered that from the 70 companies that were in the room when I did the DNS workshop, only 10% had good idea how the DNS was operating. And you imagine. So there's still a lot of work to do, a lot of outreach to do, not only to NGOs, but also to the market and the industry itself to learn them that NGOs are indeed a good market. So the mission of NPOC is not just working on the policy level, also working on the outreach level. And that's what we try to do also. We have two missions in it. And the second mission, we are trying to fill that with Pathfinder. Pathfinder is a program that we have been building in the last year, last 14, 15 months. based on the idea that most of organizations, most of the NGOs in the civil society don't find the path to the right place, be a participant in the internet. And that's one of the tasks we try to fill. We have a lot of cooperation now. We have Google is going to join the Pathfinder program now. Facebook wants also, of course. and we cannot deny, because it's a space where we will find a lot of those we want to address. We have PIR who is joining us. We have Affilias and many others. We have also intellectual property law firms that are joining. And you're going probably to ask, why? Well, as an NGO, your name is a brand. And when you put content on your website, that falls under intellectual property. It's yours, and it has value. Otherwise, you would never put it on the web. And that's where the law firm said, well, that's a great idea. Let's work together. So the law firms that are partnering with us on Pathfinder are indeed interested to help pro bono NGOs so that you can understand what the value is for you. That are the three levels we try to work on in ICANN and outside ICANN. So we have several missions. And the fact that we love the fellows is that among you, there is one sitting that is part of NPOC now, Martin. Martin became our secretary at the last elections. And I'm looking forward for our next elections that I can retire. And I would like to see one of you becoming the chair of NPOC, because we need to refresh and bring more people in from developing regions, because that's where most of the work has to be done. How do we do the work inside ICANN now? Well, we are participating in as many working groups as we can. I know we can and ICANN is very close, but it's not the same. Sometimes we can't and I can. I'm actually in 7 working groups. I was the co-chair of the Translation and Transliteration PDP working group, a very interesting one, which got now approved by the board, resolved, and the resolution is asking us now to implement the policy. So I have been doing the whole project that is needed in the PDP world. I'm also a vice chair of the Standing Committee on Improvement of Implementation. Yes, indeed, we are specialists in long definitions of working groups. The longest one is, I think, the proxy and privacy. I already forgot it. I only know the abbreviation, PPSIA. The privacy and pre-service, and with the A. You see, and that's the problem when you have to look into your schedules and you look only to the long ones. Your agenda normally cuts them off also. And I was once at the wrong working group call because my agenda swept 2 of them. The work in the working groups is important. That's where we really are discussing and writing the law. Probably heard already about ALAC. If somebody from ALAC, Alan Greenberg, has been coming. Yeah. So what is the difference between ALAC and NPOC, because many people are asking that. What is the difference? Where can we find the difference between both of you? Well, we are not that different. In fact, I had the pleasure to be the co-founder of At Large. 10 years ago, because they celebrated 10 years' existence, 10 years ago, I started in Frankfurt with about 12, 13 colleagues, the idea of ALAC. We have been building it, and 3 years ago, they asked me, can you move over? The ALAC baby is already almost an adult. Can leave it. We have another baby. We want you to grow up. And that's where I moved over to NPOC. With the idea of bridging advice and policy development. And I explain it in a very simple way. What ALAC is doing is they give advice to the policy in ICANN. In NPOC, in the GNSO, we are writing the laws, we are writing the policy. And we cannot do that if we don't have good advice. The proposal that I did to Fadi 3 years ago, the time he came at in ICANN, was the last General Assembly of Eurolo, the European Regional at Large. I committed myself to bring in a process where, when good advice boils in ALAC, that we can capture that, bring it into NPOC, and start thinking about possible policy. So that when the advice goes up to the board, which takes a time, we could, from the policy level, bring up some ideas about possible policy. We're winning 2 years at least. And that's important. Internet doesn't wait till we decide that we are going to change something. Probably it's most of the time as such that when we have the policy in place, the internet has changed. You have to redo the work. So that's the idea. And that's where the difference lays. It's advice at one side in ALAC. We are writing the policy. We're implementing the policy. So we are not that different. We are complementary. And the goal is now that for Marrakesh, we're going to try to have meetings together so that we can find out where is the space we need to work on the next 6 months. That's the goal. So you can join NPOC if you're an organization or a member of an organization. Compared to NCUC, NCUC accepts individuals. We can't. We're based on the NGO world, and the NGO world are organizations, not individuals. That's also where the difference lays. And as I said, we have a focus that is more on the values for the NGOs, while for individuals, and we totally agree, human rights and privacy is quite an issue. But NGOs have other issues we need to talk about. We need to solve them. As I explained, losing the domain name, that's not good for them. So their operational concerns are the target of our mission. And if you want to join us, open arms. You see, you can talk to Martin. If I'm not speaking your language, probably Martin can speak your language, because I'm too old to speak your language most often. Can even not understand most of the text that is sent to me. So we have our meeting starting at 9:30, just the hall aside here, MR2, and you're free to join us. We have a quite good agenda for this time. Fadi is going to join us at 10:45, where we are going to try to figure out what he thinks is another eventual mission that NPOC has to take up. So I think I can end here my discourse, and I'm listening and hope you are going to have some questions for me. All together. That's too difficult.
Rudy as well, I thought maybe Martin would like to just say a word or two.
Yep.
As an alumni who joined.
Yes, but I wanted to leave the place for questions. No, it's just okay, I can use this one.
They can see you.
Oh, sure. Hi. No, I think that I could add that some of other interesting things that I've seen inside NPOC is the analysis of, for instance, treaties that affect domain names. This was a piece of the treaty in the European Union where there was a provision regarding domain names saying that in case that they conflict with a trademark, they will be given to the person with a trademark. And of course, NGOs, they don't have trademarks, they use their name in a non-commercial environment. And that would mean that if, especially when it comes with acronyms, if I had an acronym that as an NGO looks exactly as the acronym that uses a commercial corporation, then the commercial corporation could take it out of me. And that's a really practical thing out in the world, really relevant, because you could easily have a company that has a trademark for Red Cross, and that would mean that take away Red Cross rights if Red Cross didn't have a trademark. Again, trademarks are for commercial purposes and in a market. And maybe the other thing that I can add that it will add you value is that I literally just walk into the sessions of NPOC. No one in, I mean, they came. He came with the other to XCOM inside the NPOC. He gave a speech. They even discussed the matters among them inside of the panel. And I said to James, like, I want to join them. I would like to go to their meeting. I just stood up and follow them. And since then, I I come back and back again, and this is really open door policy. Just step in and do the work, because it's a blank page. It's for us to fill it. And that's the first thing that actually he said to me 2 years ago. He said to me, like, this is yours. Don't sit in the back. Sit in the panel, speak, outreach. So I would give this advice for you to engage with anything inside ICANN. Just walk in and participate. In my experience, MPOC worked for me. I'm used to work for and with NGOs. And I think what MPOC has a really unique perspective that I haven't seen anywhere in ICANN. That's why I joined. So I encourage you, if you are related to the world of NGOs, you might as well come to MPOC, at least to see what it is about. And although we are an organization of organizations, if you don't have an organization, you can also come. We welcome friends. MPOC has friends that can help. And I think that's part of every ICANN organizations. So feel free to join us. It's at the 9:30, 9:40. 9:30.
Today, just after you finish here, you can join us. The room is just in the hall, the MR2. So, anybody having any question?
Yeah, I have a question.
Good.
Andriy Pazyuk from Ukraine, founder of NGO Digital Rights Defenders. So, my question, you speak a lot about money, such as trademarks and some royalties from it. And as for me, it's interesting to know how NGO could earn money by using web.
Very good question. An NGO cannot survive, cannot be sustainable if there's no funding. And while, as I said, you can put your page on Facebook, but then you're feeding another engine, nothing comes to you. Most of the time your page has got lost somewhere in the Facebook book. When you have your own domain name, you can bring your stuff to the public. You can put a button, donation, on it. Take the sample of Greenpeace and others. Many others have a button. Thanks to the fact that they have their domain name, it's dedicated to them directly. That's the first way to do it. The other way is, as I said, your NGO name is in itself a brand. And if you're not protecting your brand, your name, it could be that your name would be used by somebody else, profit of it, and get money. Like we had an applicant recently from Pakistan, Sabera, and they had sabera.org and they have sabera.pk for Pakistan. The sawera.org has been captured. It's now in the hands of an incorporation in the US. And what the only thing you see on their page is an SEO page. So you see, the SEO is already taking advantage of that domain and that probably got a lot of visit, and they have to fight to get it back. That costs money. So that's where we need to help as much as we can to protect. And by having your name registered as a trademark, that means money, because nobody else can steal it. And all the values that you are putting under your name, under your domain name, stays with you. That's where we have been discussing with law firms and the intellectual property guys. Say, yeah, that's a great idea. And they want to do it pro bono, so it's not going to cost you money. That's where the start. That's where funding can come in if you're recognized in the internet world with your own domain name and not in Facebook. Facebook will not help you at that point. I hope that's an answer. You want to know more? Join us, you will see. Anybody else?
Thank you for your session. I have a question. What if you have an NGO and you... my name is Mona Ailoti. I am from Jordan, first-time fellow. What if you have an NGO and you put all your content in a Facebook page and all the content went to another engine, and now you want to buy a domain name and you move all the content to your domain name with a very high SEO practices? How long does it take to have the content back to your domain name space?
Well, first of all, I would suggest to everybody that when you put content online, make a copy local. Because you know that when you subscribe in Facebook, they become the owner somehow of your content. You cannot really delete. So make a copy. The moment you have your own domain name, can take up to a month maximum before you're getting recognized by Google, and that Google will show up your name, your organization, when people are searching on it. Having your content on your domain name goes very quickly. If you have a copy, you just have to upload it in the tool you're going to use to publish your content. Please don't hesitate to do it. Because in Facebook, it's part of the big book. It's one little page in the millions of pages there. And how can people find it? While you have your own domain name, you can put a lot of information on it. You could also manage your membership. There's also a way of getting money if you can put your membership system online. You will subscribe, even from across the world, if they are interested in what you do. Can't do that through Facebook. You see, that's the value starts at the little corners of the domain name. So another hand.
Hi, good morning. My name is Manuel from Mexico. Actually, I wanted to know a little bit more of how the ALAC and NPOC works together, because for me it's very interesting that you have an advisory committee in providing advice and through NPOC producing policy. So do you think, could you elaborate a little bit more on how you coordinate together, and do you think if that's a trend or do you think that other constituencies should be doing that also, having an SO and an AC?
That's a very good question. And indeed, we started, I think it's 2 years ago, with the idea of the cross-community working groups, where we try across every community to reach upon some topics where we need to have a real cross-community approach. With ALAC, we have already the meetings with NCSG and ALAC together, but that's not enough. We need to work more in-depth on issues. And we discovered that ALAC is working on issues that we have also on our table. And that's where we need to work together, so that the advice that they are giving has already been tuned with what we think could be implemented as policy. It doesn't make sense to create advice, to give advice that doesn't fit in the policy picture. When you say you are giving advice to change whatever direction left, well, in policy there is no way to go left, you only can go right. Doesn't make sense to bring that advice. It's a waste of time. And that's where we need to work together to help also ALAC identifying that sometimes advice could not really work. And the other way also, that they steer us in the direction where they think we need to go, so that we don't lose the track of and don't stay on just our own line. But that's where we need to work together. This is in development. It's not something that exists already. It's something we are working on to get this done. So that's why we need new people coming in. We have many ideas. We have not enough people to do it. So we would like to have more people. I hope it helps you a bit. Join us in our meeting. I can go more in depth because I have only a few minutes left, I think.
I was just going to say, we do need to wrap up. Rafiq here to talk with us on the non-commercial users constituency. If there was one more question, we'd be fine. But if not, we'll just take one.
Hi, Aidan Ferdlin. I'm actually in the NextGen program, but I hope you don't mind if I ask.
Well, I can tell you I will be there at noon, 1:30.
Perfect. I look forward to meeting you then. But I might just ask quickly. So you mentioned that the cost for a domain name is minimal, and I agree with you there, relative to other expenses that an NGO might have. There are other costs involved in developing a website, from the technical knowledge to create the website in the first place, along with ongoing costs in hosting it. And Facebook eliminates many of these costs. And I'd argue that for many NGOs, it might be a better use of their resources to focus on their core activities. So I was wondering if ICANN perhaps encourages NGOs to purchase a domain and simply to redirect this instead.
Very good question. Very good question. You know the existence of ONG and .ngo. It's done by OnGood and NSET. And they are, in fact, under the domain extension .ngo, offering some services like a few initial pages. We have a plan to go that step also to find partners in helping to produce and help you setting up a website. Once it's done, it's up to you to fill up the content like you do in Facebook at the end. Nobody says that Facebook is still going to be free. At a certain time, the cost of Facebook will be too high. Look for YouTube. There's already the idea of going to have to pay for it. So once they see that the content doesn't deliver enough marketing for them, they will ask to pay a fee. There is an idea of working on that. That's what we are doing with partners, trying to get partners interested in covering that part of the work to be done. But on the domain name space, that's where we already found the way of getting law firms being interested in helping pro bono to get your domain name, your brand protected. But I will come at noon to your NextGen group, very enthusiastic group. So I would like to thank you all. And as said, 9:30, you can find us just the other side. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rudy. And Rafiq, who everyone met yesterday, has kindly agreed to start our non-commercial users constituency chat with you. We really appreciate that you came this morning, Rafiq, and I hand the floor over to you.
Yeah. Thank you, Janice, for the opportunity to meet the follow-up for a second time. Okay. Good morning, everyone. So yesterday we talked about the non-commercial stakeholder group. Yeah, you heard from Rudy about the NPOC. So we'll talk a little bit about the NCUC, the non-commercial user. So basically, NCUC was founded like 16 years ago. It was the only constituency for civil society at that time. And ICANN, and it was not an easy thing. And within the last years, at least since 2008, 2009, with the restructuring of UNESCO, more individuals and organizations to participate in the policymaking within ICANN. So I guess many will ask what difference between NCUC and NPOC. So the two are the part of NCHG, the stakeholder group. Kind of difference is more in the focus and the mission. First thing is that NCUC can accept individuals and organization. Individuals and organization. While NPOC only can accept as a mean. The focus of NCUC was for many years about defending the rights of registrant end users. So in the time of inception of ICANN, the focus was really about trademark interest. A lot of IP lawyers there in 1999, and there was concern how to protect the rights of user. Also have a lot of folks in defending human rights, privacy, bringing the diversity to ICANN. In terms of geographical diversity, we have many, many members in America and Caribbean, Africa, Asia. Asia-Pacific, and so on. So this is quite important because if we talk about user, we have to get the different point of view of all the world. And we have many members here, in fact. Isaac was speaking a few minutes ago. Because I didn't prepare for this, so We spent many times, as I say, since the inception, 6 years, really to defend. It was not easy. And I am happy to see the evolution since then. Now we have more than 400 members between individuals and organization. Why you should join NCUC is that I'm not sure about the case, most of you, but I guess probably are more maybe activists. Coming from civil society, you are maybe in being involved here as in your own capacity. So, necessarily representing an organization. So, it's more easy for you to join NCUC and to get active. You will find many people who has been here for many years and get involved in the policy development process. And we can help you guide it within all this. I mean, within ICANN, I mean, there is a learning curve. And then we can help you to get involved into personally. I will be happy to answer your question about how to participate in working groups, how you can influence the process, and why it matters. because I know that the last days you heard a lot about how ICANN is so nice, multi-stakeholder model map, and so on. However, the reality is it can take some time to get involved into Party A to understand how things are going on. So NCUC as a space can help you to get in ICANN and to participate effectively. So if you are coming from a developing country, you can bring your background, your experience, and to voice. I'm not going to speak more. I'm looking more that we can have action and to you have a question and so on, so I can clarify. I know that for the last day you heard a lot about ICANN, you attended some session. Have any question about how civil society can participate? How, even for you, what you can do here, I will be happy to.
I'm Shanae. I'm a first-time fellow. Thank you very much. I'm just interested to know, what are the current issues that the NCUC is dealing with at the moment?
Okay. Mostly, for NCUC, the idea is to have more of the policy discussion at the NCSG level, so we can have more diversity of point of view. Currently, I guess, most of the focus, it's not just for NCUC, for NCSG, for everyone in ICANN, is the ICANN accountability, because there is a lot of there are a lot of concern about how the transition will go and what the impact on the ICANN as a structure and how we can keep it. You know, that takes so much time. However, there are many things going on in terms of policy development. And there are things coming soon, like the review of the new G program. It took so much time to implement, to set the policy for the new GTLD program. It takes so much time to implement it, and then we need to review it to see what it succeeded and what it failed, and to see how we can improve it from the standpoint, for example, of those from coming from developing countries. Other thing is that we start what they call the rights protection mechanism, which is about all, say, the process to protect trademark, domain name. We have a lot of concern about those policies. They existed for many years, and there is an coming review that's quite important policy process. Probably it will interest many of those who are having intellectual property background. Another is to re-engineer WIS or registration data. That's going to start also soon. So a lot of things. So that's why we need more people to come. Still, we need how we can keep the organization accountable. But then also, we still have a lot of policy related to domain name that they are coming.
Hi, good morning. My name is Manuel from Mexico. I was wondering, how do you manage the overlapping, the probably overlapping themes or topics then that you discuss at NCUC and at MPOC and ALAC? Could you tell me a little bit more how do you three engage?
Yeah, Manuel, it sounds that you have focus on ALAC because we. Several questions. Okay, there are some difference. First, NCAG is a part of the GNSO. So there we make the policy development for domain name. It's really specific domain name. We can participate, like, for example, the IANA stewardship transition and also the ICANN accountability. All with the focus is really about domain name. The ALAC really can cover a broad range of topics. IP address, accessibility. For example, for domain name, maybe they are more concerned about universal access. So they can do a lot of things. It can be technical, about policy, and have the ability to give advice to the board. GNSO, they send recommendation to the board, policy recommendation, and the board can either accept or ask that they can be reworked. ALAC provide advice. So it's slightly different. It's like, the GAC is also an advisory committee, the ERSAC, they provide advice. They don't do policy. It's a slight difference. For NCAG, NCC, and POC, NCAG is like, they say, the place where you have everyone, civil society. You have the constituency, so people can focus maybe on some, depending to the mission of the constituency, some topics, some interest. But in fact, there are, people usually be in both I mean, they can one of them, but a lot of discussion about policy happen at the NCIC level, so we can have diversity of point of views. And we have many active NCUC members, but understand that these two layers create confusion, but there are a lot, I mean, long history. I can explain about it later. So, but this is the kind of difference. And at the end, you can be part of what, there is no limitation. Only in GNSO, you cannot be member of two stakeholders. For one reason, because when you join older group, you will have voting rights. You cannot play in two. You can be member of NCIG, of the ALAC. I mean, it's we don't limit what people want to do and what they want to... Yes?
I will ask in Russia.
Our organization is a member of this group, and I would like to ask the following question. One of the documents which we were discussing were recommendations on the decisions of the GAC. I would like to ask, after we discuss these issues and we accept some sort of recommendations or advice, how does this advice influence the decision of the GAC? Is there any influence? I did not quite understand how this worked. That do we just send this advice or these recommendations, or do we get together with the GAC and talk about these recommendations?
That's a good question, how we can influence the GAC. Okay, I mean, there was some, I mean, not NCIG, and I'm talking about NCIG here, but I will talk about the GNSO. So one of the issues has been for a while that the GAC has it's an advisory committee, so they have kind of direct access to the board, and it happened they even have, face-to-face meeting policy. One of the concerns that it was within the community that the community spent a long time working on policy to develop it for 1-2 years, but then GAC just joined and jumped in at the end of the process and asking for to change a lot of things that create a tension. Because what we want is the GAC to participate from the beginning. So there is ongoing work between GNSO and the GAC to see how we can give the GAC kind of early warning that we should get involved. We are waiting for your input and so on. So this is still ongoing, but the problem is that the GAC composed of government representative, and they don't think one representative can speak for all government. So they cannot really wait in working group and say we represent the GAC's, any representative will represent only his government. So we don't have till now the ability that government participate in kind of consistent, coherent way in the policy development process, arising an issue within the community. It's not really related to NCIG, it's more an issue. You have a different support nation advisory committee, different way of working, different way of representation. For example, in ALAC, GNSO, it's geographical representation. The GAC, GNSO, stakeholders. And it's not geographical, say, splitting of the GNSO. So this is the kind of difference in how things work. Okay.
And Rafiq, I'm going to take this moment to do a pass off to Aaron, who has joined us from the NCUC as well. Thank you so much, Rafiq.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Rafiq, for holding the fort. My name is Arun Sukumar. I'm with the Observer Research Foundation, which is a think tank based in Delhi. And thank you, Janice. As Janice said, I am a member of the NCUC. Marilia is also here. She's a member of the NCUC as well, and I feel we're not a proper sample representation from the NCUC, given that both of us are lawyers. But to talk a little bit about the NCUC, which is a constituency within the non-commercial stakeholder group. I am here, so let me start with the kind of work that I have been involved with in the NCUC, which is now for more or less a year, and then I can hand it over to Mia, who will talk about some of the more bread and butter issues that the NCUC is concerned with regarding rights and free speech and expression and so on and so forth, which we've been addressing, we've been raising at ICANN for a while now. But my intervention at ICANN itself is through the INR transitions. ICANN and this space generally has been through the INR transition, the accountability group's work. I am a participant in the accountability group's working. And I found that the NCUC, which for all intents and purposes represents the represents users, and the NCUC is mostly comprised or entirely comprised of individual, can be individual membership or there can be organizational organizational membership. So in my previous capacity at the National Law University in Delhi in India, I signed up as an individual member. Later, I bought the university as an organizational member to the NCUC as well. And now in my as a researcher in the Observer Research Foundation, ORF is also now part of the NCUC. So these are the two kinds of membership. But at ICANN meetings, we are all individuals. So I guess that is what separates us from the NPOC, the not-for-profit organizations constituency, and the non-commercial users constituency. We are also different from ALAC in the sense ALAC is truly a multi-stakeholder unit. You know, ALAC could have, for instance, business groups within within the constituency. It represents theoretically all the end users. On the other hand, we represent clearly the non-commercial interests and non-commercial users. And personally speaking, I found that the NCUC is a very easy point of access into the ICANN space because we are a bunch of great in addition to that. I think very few constituencies have been able to accommodate such an incredible diversity of views, given that, for instance, you may have a commercial stakeholders group. There are, of course, diversity of views in that stakeholders group as well. But the sheer range of topics that the NCUC addresses within itself and also at ICANN, it's often difficult to get some consensus going or some sort of an agreement on some key issues. And these are sort of vis-a-vis who is free speech and expression. Should ICANN get into content regulation? These are, of course, the NCUC tackles on an ongoing basis. And there are people who hold different points of view, as with the case the INR transition itself. So several NCUC members have been actively involved in the INR transition and the accountability group in the course of your meetings here. And several of them, we have a NCUC member to the accountability group, but in addition to that, we are all engaged space. And I can't claim to represent any particular user or any particular group of users, but the idea is that certain themes or certain causes are addressed in the INR transition and in the accountability group. For instance, in the accountability group, something that I am keenly interested in pursuing is the board's accountability to the larger internet community is where I come in as a member. And I found that this is the ICANN space, as you would have known, especially if you're a first-time fellow, and it is slightly overwhelming to be here for the first time because there are people who know each other and you're trying to break into that space, trying to find some sort of a foothold. The NCUC is a very warm and collegial space in that regard, possibly because there is already a network of researchers and academics and think tanks. They have met in previous occasions, in previous forums. So the NCUC is really formalizing that connection at ICANN. So that's it. Let me wind up there and let me hand it over to Marilia. Marilia is from the FGV in Brazil. She is a researcher and she will talk to you more about some of the more bread and butter issues that the NCUC is dealing with. Marilia.
Hello, good morning, everybody. As Aaron said, my name is Marilia. I'm a researcher in Brazil from the Center for Technology and Society. And I just would like to tell you the issues that NCUC discusses. I think that some of the broad topics that are of concern of civil society and academics are topics that historically NCUC has advocated for here in ICANN. One of them is human rights. You may think, okay, ICANN is a technical organization. What does ICANN has to do with an issue such as human rights? But there are several policies that ICANN is developing in its policy development process that tackles and has to do with human rights concerns. Just think about WHOIS. I don't know if you had the opportunity to hear about WHOIS. WHOIS is a database of data of everyone that registers a domain name. So your name, your address, your contact number, your telephone number, others that may have interesting, the domain name that you register may find you and get in contact with you. Of course, this is interesting for business interests. This is interesting for law enforcement concerns, because if there is a problem with the website, law enforcement is able to find you. But this also raises concerns with relation to privacy rights. So if this information is available out there, who will be the person or the authority to have access to this information? In which concerns? Some people hire proxy and privacy services that are kind of a middle ground between you and make... Oh, sorry, I'm speaking too fast. Yeah, I'm sorry that I have a tendency to do that. I'm really sorry. I forgot about the translators. I'm giving them a hard time. But proxy and privacy services are services that you may hire to hide this personal information from those that want to find it. So instead of finding your work contact number, your telephone number, they will contact a midman, a proxy and privacy service, and this will hide your data on the internet. And right now, GNSO, which is the body that develops policy for the GTLDs, it is discussing how this proxy and privacy services may work. So it has to do with privacy. Think about freedom of expression. Some time ago in ICANN, there were concerns with regards to new GTLDs. Some of these new GTLDs were considered sensitive, and they were discussed in the GAC, in the Government Advisory Council, in terms of should these new GTLDs be allowed or not? Are they too sensitive to be allowed? So we have issues with relation to freedom of expression. There are some companies that want to protect their trademarks, but some of these trademarks are very generic names that may be used for other purposes. So how do we strike a balance between the protection of intellectual property and freedom of expression? So freedom of expression, privacy, freedom of association. We have an ongoing discussion about .gay. You may be aware that the gay community has applied for the GTL.gay, and so has a commercial company, and the commercial company has been given so far this GTLD. There are several rights that are impacted on ICANN's policy development process, and this is historically an issue that NCUC has raised in the organization. This issue has gained traction recently. There is a cross-community working party on human rights that has been created some meetings ago. This cross-community groups is comprised of representatives of all ICANN constituencies, and this cross-community working party will have a meeting on Wednesday. I'm not sure about the time, but you can check your agendas. And if human rights is an issue of interest to you, and if you want to make sure that ICANN's policies are respective of human rights, you may come to this meeting and understand a little bit further of how ICANN's policies are interrelated with human rights. Another topic that is very dear to NCUC is development. So we know that the domain name industry is capable of creating jobs, creating market opportunities, companies for people. But we also know that this industry has been historically very concerned in developed countries. So if you think of where registries are concentrated, where registrars are concentrated, they are concentrated in developed countries. Recently, there was a survey about new GTLDs that came through, and the survey shows that developing regions of the world are much more acceptive of these new GTLDs, such as Latin America, Africa, Asia. In spite of that, we are consumers of domain names. We are not the exporters or the countries to host companies that are part of the domain name industry. How can we change this scenario? How can we make sure that companies from developing regions have access to this market? This is another thing that NCUC has been historically discussing. And we have now an opportunity to review the last round of new GTLDs and prepare for the next one that will come up soon. So it's an opportunity to ensure that conditions such as application fees, additional support for developing applicants, such as support with language services. We know that not everyone has English as a first language, and other ways of support will be discussed. So that's another topic that NCUC is very much involved, because as Aaron mentioned, we are not focused on one particular concern. Like, for instance, NPOC deals with operational concerns of NGOs. We have NGOs participating in NCUC, for instance, Article 19, which is historically an organization, an NGO, that fights for human rights and freedom of expression, is a member of NCUC. So is the Association of Progressive Communications, that is a very well-known NGO in the field of internet policy. So they are members of NCUC, and we have individual members, such as myself, participating as an individual. And we have people that historically have cared about this broader topic, such as development and human rights. So we would like to invite you to come today to NCUC meeting. Today is Constituency Day, so you will see that all constituencies, they will gather together and have their internal discussions with their members, with their community. So we invite you to stop by. You may want to visit other constituencies as well, but stop by and get to know a little bit more of NCUC and the work you're developing. Thank you.
So Rilia is an example of, you know, someone who brought her experience, her knowledge, her talents with her passion, and jumped headfirst into ICANN and just blew the doors off of everybody last year. So we embrace her as a fellow, but she kind of flew through us. But we'll still embrace her and call her our own. So we only have a couple minutes for questions, so I want to get to them quickly. We have to be out of here strictly at 8:45. So if we have any questions, no? That's how well you do your job. Be wonderful. The only thing I wish I could teach her is to take her passion and slow it down like just a little bit for the interpreters, who have just done a tremendous job. But I think you're getting to know her now. When you see her step up, I think you've got the pace. No fear, and that's the one thing you know, I've learned too from Rilia, is there just no fear. Gia was the same way, just stepping up to the microphone when she had her first opportunity, and the community notices, and they may notice in the way of, we need you in ours, and walking down the hall, which is quite typical, or engaging in discussion to further understand the question that you posed. And one of the points I want to make about that as well, in public forum or in any of our sessions, especially today, because it will feel sometimes like you walked into a family's Thanksgiving dinner, and they've been talking for 3 hours, and everybody knows the story, and now you've just walked in, and you're trying to figure out who all of the family members are and what they've said and done. Okay, so I keep telling you your family here, but you'll feel like the stepchildren very quickly. So what you need to do is take it down, take in the knowledge. We gave you the acronym link in the newcomer slide set. Back to the newcomer day, if you didn't download it already, pull up that slide set, download it so that you get the acronym link. You'll look at the words they're using. But also find someone in that group that appeals to you, seems to be someone either knowledgeable or challenging, or you feel kind of speaks your language, maybe not Russian, Arabic, kind of feel the kind of questions, the kind of comments. When there's a break, find that person. If there's a speaker who excited you, run up to them after the break. And make sure that if it's the place that you feel comfortable because of the kind of issues they're tackling, and most importantly, the way they're tackling. Because many, all, are talking about IANA transition and accountability and the new GTLD review. But how are they talking about it? From what angle? And are you feeling this passion? Are you feeling it? You know, if you're in a cold room, do you want to stay? And I'm not saying anything derogatory about a community here, because everyone's working their patootie off. But I'm saying, if you're not feeling it, if it's at a place that just is not grabbing you, go find a place that's going to grab you, because they're all over and they're ready and willing to grab you
and they want you. They want Dushan, and now they want Charnay. They want you. That's why you're here. I'll say it again. The multi-stakeholder model. Bring that slide up today. Keep taking a look at it. Thinking about your sector of passion. Some of it is to do with a job, and I do get that, and you're here, and you may come back later as a representative, which is yay team for me, because someone else is funding you, and it opens a slot for someone else. That's part of rotating through. But it's about the passion. I told you on Sunday, you don't volunteer your free time at home for something that you don't just love, because it's your time. So if you're going to give it to something that you love, it's the same here at ICANN. It's all volunteer. I get paid, Deb gets paid, but we're amongst almost 400 out of global community. And we get paid to support you as a volunteer, do something that you love, and then make us work for you to make the passion, you know, move and make things happen. Okay. I want to thank you both so very much.
Thank you.
We just kept the passion
here.
Moving. Thank you. I'm coming over. As soon as I leave ICANN, I'm coming over to NCUC. Don't tell the other ones. Speak one more word, but thank you.
Thanks. Hey, thank you, Janice. And as you see, we have, like Marilia, who was a fellow and she's in leadership position. We have also Amar and many, many were fellow and they joined us and become leaders. So I just wanted to tell you that the NCUC session will be at 9:30 at Wicklow Hall 2. So you are welcome to join. And after that, you can join NCSG meeting at 2 p.m. Thanks.
Okay, we are now free to leave the building. No, not the building. Yeah, just the room. So I'm going to circle back and say this is a day that you do not want to get lost. So use wisdom and the alumni in the ICANN information booth if at any point in time you're unclear. Use your coach. That's what they're here for. Gilbert, you have me as your coach, so you're so lucky. Where's Gilbert? Yeah. Yes. So reminder from Rafiq that tomorrow at 4 o'clock, non-commercial stakeholder group at booth, if anyone's interested.
We'll interrupt you. Yeah.
But make sure that you come and get one of us. Skype us, email us, grab us on Facebook. Whatever you need to do, the booth being the central place, but don't let today go away. Don't let it get by. You know, get out there, figure it out, coffee breaks, put your hand out, shake a hand. I'm new. I'm a newcomer. I forgot my badge today. That won't help me at all. But use today in the hallways and the coffee breaks and the networking, because that's really where you find the people of ICANN. Is out there, you know, talking about everything. So enjoy the day. Get a hold of me if you need anything, coaches and the booth. And I will see you this afternoon at 5:30. Yes, 5:30. I'll see you then.